We ask for your prayers this morning. We need the help of God to bring a message that the Lord has put upon our heart. And we appreciate the words John had to say a while ago. I want to read a few verses of Scripture from chapter 2 of the second epistle that Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul was a minister. He was writing to Timothy, who was a minister. These passages of Scripture, Timothy and Titus, and some of these are sometimes referred to as the pastoral epistles because they was addressed to one that was a minister, but I believe they have a broad application. I don't believe they just apply to preachers. And I'll say that in the very beginning because I believe they apply to every child of God except those that might be reserved especially and that is indicated that they would be only for ordained ministers. But this passage of Scripture, chapter 2, "Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." We'll end our scripture reading there at the 10th verse. We notice that in the very first verse, as the Apostle Paul was addressing Timothy, he said to him, "My son." He didn't mean a literal son, but a spiritual son in that sense. He was a younger man than Paul. But he said, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Sometimes people try to be strong in their own self, in their own abilities, in their own physical strength. But none of us is strong without God. The only strength that we'll ever know or ever have is that which comes from a righteous and holy God that is imparted to us. Paul knew that. I believe Paul was a mighty man in the Scriptures, a mighty warrior of God. But he knew where his strength came from, and so should we. But he said to Timothy in the third verse, and this would be our text this morning. He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And then down in that last verse, Paul said, "I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." I guess there's no man in the Scriptures that we read about that endured more. The word hardness, that in the Greek, it means a hardship or affliction. And what Paul was saying to Timothy and what the Scripture is saying to all of us, that we must be willing to endure hardship and to endure afflictions for the cause of God. I realize this is not a real popular thing, and I'm not looking for amens, but I'm just telling you that this is the Word of God, and it seems to be something that our generation has somehow lost sight of. It seems like that we have a different opinion today, a different mind about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a servant of God. Paul said to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He was using the word soldier as a metaphor. He didn't mean a literal soldier that carried a rifle on his shoulder or in that sense, but he meant as a spiritual soldier. He was using that. That's just like a word that describes a quality that the children of God ought to possess. You know, Jesus said to his disciples one time, he said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He didn't mean literal salt or literal light. He was using that in a spiritual sense as a metaphor, just like Paul was using this when he said to Timothy, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, endure hardness. You know, the Scriptures and history also seems to indicate to us that God's people have always done a little better, have always thrived better and fared better under affliction than they have under prosperity. Now you just think about it. I suppose if we took a poll this morning and we said, well, which do you want in your life? Do you want a prosperity or do you want affliction? Well, I'm just about to tell you where we'd all line up. We'll take prosperity. We'll take that which is easy. But that's not what that we really need sometimes, because actually, God's people have thrived better under affliction than they ever have under prosperity. I tell people that I have lived through the golden age of America. I was born in 1943. Right after the war, 1945, 1946, America began to prosper greatly. And for all of those years from then until now, we have lived in a time and in a nation of great prosperity. Everything around us, everything we do is much easier today than it used to be. Much easier. I remember how it used to be. I grew up on some of that. But great prosperity has caused us to be at ease in Zion. And when God's people are at ease in Zion, then things begin to slip away. Sometimes God needs to bring affliction back on us. But we need to understand that we as good soldiers of Jesus Christ must be willing to endure the afflictions. You know, we live in a time where that, you know, there's great opposition to those of us that believe in a righteous and a holy God. Everywhere we look today there's great opposition. We're faced with things today that prior generations, at least going back a long time, have never had to face or contend with. It's everywhere today. And we'll have to endure the things that are placed before us. But I find in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, Stephen, who was a mighty man of God, and if you want to really hear a good sermon or read a good sermon, read the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. That's a sermon that Stephen preached. Wasn't popular, but because they stoned him to death when he got through. But Stephen was willing to endure the afflictions that came with the preaching of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to bear that even unto death. But the scriptures indicates in the very next chapter, the very first verse of the 8th chapter, the scripture speaks of how that Saul, whose name was later changed to Paul, that Saul was consenting unto the death or the stoning of Stephen. I don't believe he threw any stones, but they laid their outer garments or their coats at his feet while they stoned Stephen to death. And the scripture does say that Saul was consenting unto his death. But then it says that at that time there was great persecution upon the church that was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered. They had to flee out of the city of Jerusalem. They had to leave their homes, their families, everything they had. They had to flee for their lives out of Jerusalem into all of Judea, the scripture says, and into Samaria. But you know, I suppose that they was able to take very little. Maybe the clothes upon their back was about all that they was able to carry with them. But they carried something more precious than that. The gospel of Jesus Christ, they carried it with them. And they preached it. And they taught it. And they lived it wherever they went. Many believed, the scripture said. Over in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, the scripture refers to that very thing, that those that went out of Jerusalem because of persecution and affliction. It says in the 19th verse, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none other but to the Jews only." These were Jews. They preached to the Jews at that time, just to them. And there were some there at Antioch. And they preached the word of God there to the Gentiles. And they heard the word. And the scripture says a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Yes, out of persecution, the word of God flourished. The scriptures tells us in this same passage that the church back at Jerusalem heard about that. And they sent Barnabas from Jerusalem up to Antioch to help them in their work. And the scripture says that when he came and had seen the grace of God, that he was glad. Aren't you glad everywhere that you go and you see the grace of God? You see the effects of the grace of God? Doesn't that make us glad? Does me good just to see you that have gathered here this morning. Because I know there's lots of other places you could have been. But you chose to be here, if you're here. They was glad, or he was glad. Barnabas was glad. And the scripture says that he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. That's what we really need this day. God's people needs to have a purpose of heart to cleave to him. Listen, There is a cause, as David said, when he went out there where the Israelite army was gathered there against the Philistine. He went out there. He saw that scene. David said, is there not a cause? Well, yes. There was a cause then, and there's still a cause now. And the cause is that there are many people that have never heard the gospel in its truth, or they have never heard the gospel to the convicting of their souls. They have never repented of their sins. They've never been saved. There's a great cause. And that's why that Paul said to Timothy, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, endure hardness. You know, David, when he went out there, his brothers was in the army. His dad sent him out there to where they were camped against the Philistines. The great giant would come out and defy the armies of Israel every day, challenging some man to come out and fight him. What he was proposing was, there's no need for our armies to fight, thousands of your men and our men to be killed. Just send a man out and fight me. And whoever wins, then they'll win. We'll go home. But there was not a man in the Israelite army that would dare have the courage to go out to fight him. But when David got there, there was. David said, I'll go. He was brought before Saul the king. And he questioned him. He told him how he had killed a lion and killed a bear that tried to take one of the sheep that he was tending to. And Saul couldn't find anybody else, so he said, I'll send him. Tried to put his armor on him. David said, I can't go with this. Hadn't proved it. I tell you, we better go with what's been proven. The Word of God has been proven. It's our sword. It's all we need. Don't need anything else. I used to wish that I had something new to preach. The Lord finally convinced me one day I didn't need anything new. Got everything I need. It's all right here. That's all we need. It was good enough to convict me. It was good enough to convict you of your sins. It's good enough to convict the whole world of their sins. But it has to be carried by somebody. David said that he would go. And he did. He went out. He went out to meet. He went out to meet this Philistine giant. David said to him, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." You know, as long as we go in the name of the Lord, where He sends us. You know, David said, he said, for the battle is the Lord's. We need to understand today, this is not my battle. This isn't your battle. The battle is the Lord's. It's His battle. We're just a soldier in His army. That's all. He equips us. He sends us. He directs us. But we have to be the good soldier that is willing to endure. Willing to endure. Hardness. You know, the old saints of God that I remember, you know, they didn't have anything in life easy anyway. They had to try to scratch a living out of the ground. They really ate their bread by the sweat of their brow. That verse is still in here, but not many of us eat our bread that way anymore. We make our living in air-conditioned offices and air-conditioned cars and everything else that is so easy. And as a result of that, we have forgot what it means to endure anything. Anything. To the point that we're just adverse to that anymore. But listen, although many carnal things has changed, there's one thing that has not changed and never will change, and that is how that you serve God. You have to be willing to endure hardness. You know, when David had already been anointed king of Israel, hadn't assumed the throne yet, Saul was still on the throne, he was trying to take the life of David. And David was in hiding in a cave at Adullam. It's in the mountainous area of Israel, not far from Bethlehem. There was caves there. David was in hiding there with some of his men. David, I guess he was thinking about the past. He got to thinking about the water that was in a well at Bethlehem, at the gate of the well. You know, sometimes we think back about things, they seem better, maybe they really were. But David was thinking about that water in that well, down there at Bethlehem. But there was a garrison of the Philistine army that was camped there in Bethlehem, a little town, a little village. But David had mighty men surrounding him. I believe the scripture names all 30 of them. 30 mighty men of David. You know, I read that and I think, where's the mighty men of our God today? Where's the mighty men? David had 30 mighty men. And David, he was there in a hole, in a cave. The scripture called it a hold. David said, oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. When I was a little boy, we used to drink out of the springs that came out of the hills, that cool spring water. In my mind, there's still nothing like it. Hadn't drank from one in years, but I can still remember that cool spring water that flowed out of the side, out of the rocks of a hill. David was thinking about that well water. And he just expressed that. He said, oh, that one would give me a drink of the water. But the scripture says that 3 of the mighty men of David heard that. They didn't tell him, they just went. They went down there to Bethlehem and they went in and they drew water out of that well and they brought him water back to the cave. I believe God had a little bit to do with that. Or they wouldn't have survived that to make it into the well or where the well was or to make it back. The Philistine army would have intervened. I don't know how they did that, but they did. And they brought the water back. Do you know David wouldn't even drink that water when he got it? He wouldn't drink it. He poured it out. He wouldn't drink it in honor of them. They had risked their life. They would have given their life. Why would they do that? I can tell you why. Because he was the king. They had such an allegiance to him. They loved him. They respected him. They had such an allegiance to David. He was already anointed, but he just hadn't taken the throne yet. Oh, if we had that kind of an allegiance to our king. If we had that kind of a love for our king, that we would be willing to just give our life to please him. A good soldier of Jesus Christ would have that. You know, I think sometimes I meditate sometimes. I just sit and meditate. That's what I call it. Some people may call it daydreaming. I don't know. Whatever it is, if it's about God, it's okay. I just meditate sometimes about if we just really realized if all of God's people, I'll say this, God's people is the best people on the face of the earth. They are. I have lived my whole life among God's people. And if I could choose to live my life among any other people, I wouldn't. I prefer to live my life in the midst of God's people. Because they are the best. But that doesn't mean that we're not lacking. Because we are. Sometimes I think we just don't have clarity of mind. That we just don't really realize what it really means today to be a Christian. Of what it really requires. You see, in that passage of Scripture that I was speaking of a while ago, up in Antioch, where the Word of God had gone, the Scripture says they were called Christians first at Antioch. You know, today everybody wants to be called a Christian except those that hate us. But, you know, there's some don't want to be a Christian. And they won't be. But the word had a different connotation when that was given to them than it has now. Amen. You see, now people want to wear the word Christian sometimes because they think that will advance them in the eyes of the world. I know people that will move to a new town, they go join the biggest church in town. They think that will help them in their business. That will help to advance them in their business. Well, that's the wrong reason. But the word, you know, it carries something pleasant about it today, something good. I don't call myself a Christian because I don't think that I always live up to what it really means to be a Christian. The most that I'm willing to say about myself is that I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's all. Just a sinner saved by grace. I'll say that because that doesn't imply anything about me. It just says everything about the Lord. But they were called Christians first at Antioch because the word means Christ-like. And that's what we should strive for. He endured everything for us. In the days of Jeremiah the prophet, over about the 18th verse of Jeremiah, the scriptures speaks of how that God spoke to him one day. Scripture says the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause ye to hear my words." And Jeremiah went down to the potter's house where there was a potter. He was making a vessel on the potter's wheel. He took the clay, he put it on the potter's wheel, it turned, and he took his hands and he shaped it. He made a vessel. Jeremiah saw that. But the vessel was marred. There was something wrong with it. Some imperfection about it. And so, he took it and he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. You know, God wanted to teach Jeremiah a very important lesson that's still the same for you and me. He is the potter and he has the power to make us as he sees fit to make us. And you know, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took us as a marred vessel. Now, we'll contend that when God made man, that he made him righteous and holy and upright, but he became marred by sin. Amen. And Jesus Christ took us as the potter, and he made us anew. He made us into a vessel of honor, a vessel that can bring honor and glory to God. That's what he made us into, a vessel of honor. In Romans, the 9th chapter, the scripture says, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay?" Yes, he does. Thank God he does. He has power over the clay. We don't always like how God made us about things or what he made us to be. After the Lord called me to preach, I didn't want to do that. I had an older brother, Tracy's dad. He's much more capable than I am at lots of things. I said, "Lord, you made a mistake. He's the one." I never got an answer. The Lord can ignore you. You ever had anybody could ignore you? The Lord can just ignore you. He ignored me. I had a cousin, Brother Clifford Hayes. I said, "Lord, look at him. Look at him, Lord. He was a deacon in the church." I said, "He's the one, Lord." He just ignored me. Until the day that he finally said, "Now, it's time." It doesn't matter what God made you for. It doesn't matter what he made you to do. Oh, I seen talents this morning that he gave to various ones that's here. But you can take that and go home and sit down and do nothing, and you will become nothing. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we must be willing to endure the afflictions of this life. We used to sing a song that I just loved. The song says, some of you know the song, I'm sure. It says, "It's not an easy road." Anybody ever heard that song? It's not an easy road. It's not an easy road that we travel as Christians. It's not an easy road that we travel as the children of God. If your road is easy, then you're doing something wrong. It's just not easy. There's persecutions, there's afflictions. If we are truly a good soldier of Jesus Christ, but we keep soldiering on. But you see, we need to understand what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. As a soldier of Jesus Christ, we must learn to endure the things that are not always happy and pleasant, but for the cause and for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we must. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in the last chapter, the 6th chapter, and this was just his conclusion of everything that he'd already said. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And that's what we're facing in this country today. You know, it seems like he's winning, doesn't it? Well, we just need to put our armor on as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're contending with. You know, Satan, what he wants to do, and he's got a great big army today. Sometimes it looks to me like about half of America is on his side. What he wants to do is to shut the church down. What he wants to do is to close the preaching of the gospel. Well, he'll never accomplish that, I can assure you that. Because God said he would be with his people. We may be back in the caves worshiping before it's all over with. I don't know. But if we do, so be it. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, second chapter. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Just think about that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you think that was an easy road that when he climbed up Mount Calvary's hill with a cross on his back? Do you think that was easy? I don't. He carried it far as he could. They compelled another man to carry it the rest of the way, where they laid it down and nailed him to it. You know, he said he could have called 12 legions of angels to have removed him from there if he'd have wanted to. But he was willing to endure what he had to endure for us, for our benefit. What you and I will do for the Lord, the greatest servant of Jesus Christ that's ever lived, is nothing compared to what he did for all of us. Nothing. No one will ever give or give up so much as what he did. Peter, in 1 Peter, he wrote these words. The scripture says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as if though some strange thing had happened unto you." You know, we act today as if some strange thing is happening, if we have to endure something in order to serve the Lord. He said, "But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf." If you suffer as a Christian, I've never really suffered as a Christian. I know there's people that maybe at times might make fun of us Christians. There's people that wants to act like that if we believe in an unseen God that we must have some kind of mental condition, something wrong with us. I just wish they knew what we know. I thank God that he revealed himself to me. When I was 14 years old, he revealed himself to me one night at an altar out there seeking him where I'd been for a number of months. And I thank God that he revealed himself to me. Saved me. Gave me the peace of God. And he did. He made me rich. He made me rich. I want to close with a verse of scripture found in the 11th chapter book of Hebrews. This is the chapter that's called the faith chapter, the hall of fame of faith. It mentions all of those patriarchs of the Old Testament and what faith was accomplished in them. The things that faith accomplished in them. The scripture says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now you know the story of Moses. He was adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh, although he was a Hebrew child. God saved him from being killed by the Pharaoh because an order had been issued that every male child among the Hebrews born was to be put to death. But God provided that he would be saved because God had something for him to do. It would be a long time before he actually answered the call of God, about 80 years from his birth to when God called him out of the burning bush to go bring his people out of Egypt. But the scripture says that when that he was come of years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We may be afflicted. We may be afflicted for a little while. Or you may call it, or you may consider it a burden. But this fiery trial that we may have to live is nothing, and it's just for a little while. And the choice is that we can cast ourselves with the people of God as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, or we can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And they just last for a season, the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of this world. We can choose. Moses chose God. He chose him. Oh, you young people that are here today. You know, sometimes in my meditations, I wish that I could just gather a bunch of young people together sometime and just tell them some things about my life. Just tell them how blessed that it's been. How blessed that it's been. Because God has seen fit to hold my hand and to lead me through this life. Oh yes, there's been a few things that was a little unpleasant for just a while. But that soon passes and the glories of God far exceeds all of those things. Far exceeds all of them. I wouldn't trade nothing. I wouldn't live my life over some other way if I could. And I can't. But I wouldn't if I could. May God bless you this morning. And I pray that you'll find the clarity of mind of who you are as a child of God. Listen, and let us all labor as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, enduring hardness. May God bless you this morning, is our prayer.